Blog Talk Radio.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yes.
Anoint my feet,
celebrating
now. Here on the battleground,
for your glory,
we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
Sacrifice your time to be online with me. Just a couple of announcements real quickly. Amazing Grace School of Ministry is on summer break, and we will be back in session in the fall. If you're interested, contact me at 309-750-7584 for more information. And also, Dream Conference 2018 is coming up, and certainly we are going to highlight that on next month. So stay tuned for an exciting lesson, exciting information in reference to Dream Conference 2018 that's coming to ALSIP in September, on September the 19th through the 22nd, 2018. We're going to have a grand time in the Lord. And the host for that is Sherry Baldwin Ministries. Amen. So look forward. We're going to do some highlights. And all those that are listening, certainly prepare yourselves to attend that conference. So let us get into the Word, shall we? We've been talking about strongholds. We have been talking about overcoming strongholds. And we have... identified the strongholds, spiritual strongholds, as fortresses of the enemy that come to keep us from gaining access and knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus. And certainly we're going to wrap this series up because certainly next month we've got an exciting time, another lesson waiting. But we have been dealing with these strongholds. We first talked about identifying your strongholds because you have to understand what things or what weapons that Satan uses against you to keep you from being all you can be in Christ Jesus. So let's get some scriptures under our belt here. So when we look at strongholds, Ephesians 6 and verses 10 through 18, and I'm just going to read verse 12 because I want you to write the scriptures down and read them for yourself. But it says, and the 12th verse says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." We're going to go down to 2 Chronicles 2:20-17, which says, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah, O Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Deuteronomy 20:4, I'm going somewhere with these. "For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." So and our main focal scripture has been 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, and I'm going to read this again. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivities to the obedience of God." And we identify what strongholds are. Strongholds are those things that, again, like I said, keep you from gaining access to the anointing and the power of God, to really keep you from excelling and moving forward in God. There are sins that we allow in our lives to simply just tolerate those things. And we build up strongholds, and then these strongholds allow the enemy to come in and to keep us blinded to the truth and keep us blinded to believing that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Now, the reason why we're talking about this is because, first of all, Satan comes to weaken our faith, and we got into some things last week. We talked about how the enemy reinforces the strongholds in people, and we gave some examples. But the main issue that I really want to get into today and wrap this thing up is that Satan tries to weaken our faith, and he does this, and Timothy chapter 3, the first verse says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And we need to understand that we're walking in the last days. We're walking in a day where Satan is trying to hinder, trying to throw all his weaponry, and I'm probably mispronouncing that, but throwing all of his weapons at us to make us stumble, to make us fall, to make us quit, to make us think that God is not on our side. How can the God of God and King of Kings be stronger than what we're facing? And, you know, I want to give an example. If you looked at the news on yesterday, you saw the plane that landed on Lakeshore Drive. And what was interesting to me is that nobody really gave glory and honor to a living God who spared all of their lives, who spared the pilot, and you want to give credit and credence to the pilot, but God did it. God allowed that miracle to occur, and the enemy wants to weaken the believer's belief system in a living God who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We serve a great God, and we must put our faith in him. So when we look at how Satan weakens your faith, over in Hebrews chapter 3 and 12, and let me say this before we get into the scripture. Our faith is potentially, well, is a very powerful weapon against the enemy. We've got to believe no matter what we see. Because, you know, our eyes and our perceptions can play tricks on us. I like to look at Penn and Teller, and they got musicians, not musicians, but magicians, people that do magic tricks on television. And it's a perception, is what you are not seeing. So the element of just trying to get you to look in one element while they do their mastery to perform a trick in front of you. And when we look at what we see is not always what does appear. So when we look at Hebrews 3 and 12, it says that Satan tries to depart the brethren from the faith. He tries to make us think, he tries to make us believe that we need to depart from the living God. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So he wants you to turn away from Christ. He wants you to get to believe that Christ is not able to do what he said he's going to do. He wants to make your heart harden. God is not with me. God is not able to do what I have asked him to do. Mm-hmm. So when we look at all this, we have to begin to believe and to stand on our belief system and know, no matter what the circumstances may bring, that God is going to do it. So when we look at Hebrews 4 and 11, the devil tries to make a Christian fall again into unbelief. There's another scripture that corresponds to what I've just said. So we've got to believe, and that verse says, Hebrews 4 and 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Then Mark 4 and 40 says, but he said to them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? So we have to begin to understand, we've got to believe no matter what. We've got to trust him. You know, Mark, over in Mark says, if thou can believe, all things are possible. So now, no matter what the circumstances may bring, no matter what the enemy may throw at you, we've got to be willing to stand. Because Satan will throw obstacles. We talked about how he harasses the believers. We talked about how he comes against us. We've got to believe no matter what and stand on the faith, stand on the promises that God has given us, and we have to begin to understand that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, meaning we wrestle against supernatural entities that come at us in full force. The Bible says in the last days that people will depart from natural affections, that people will be lovers of themselves more than of God. And if we look at society today, we can see the scriptures being fulfilled. The scriptures also talk about that the fact that you won't even know the seasons from one season to the another, to the next. So spring, winter, fall, and summer, you won't know those seasons because they will all be intertwined together. You don't know if it's going to snow, if it's going to rain. And then you've got all kind of devastations that's happening in the world today. All of this speaks to the fact that Christ is on his way back. So Satan is trying very hard to weaken the believers in their faith, in their belief system. You know, the Negro College's slogan talks about a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And Satan, if Satan can get into our belief system, if Satan can make us think it, then we begin to act that out in our heart, because the Bible says out of the heart flows the issues of life. So if we think a thing, you know, bitterness if it will creep in, and feelings of animosity, all of those things start happening. And when those things start creating, you know, we look at somebody and we believe that that person may be being blessed, and we're walking in a season in our time when things just not going right, finance might not be going right, look like people are turning their back on us, and we just feel all alone. Hallelujah. And we feel we're serving the Lord all we can and all we know, but then look like, where God? Where you at, God? Come on now, come. I don't feel you. But I want to let you know, God is still yet there. God is still on the throne. So we have to praise him when we don't see the situation. And by faith, that's it. We're not going to see. The Bible says, you walk by faith and not by sight. So you're not going to see what God is doing. You know, you can say, God, I don't understand you, but I trust you. I trust you in the way that you're taking me. I trust you in what you're doing in my life right now. Don't understand it, but certainly we can talk to the Father, and we can sit down and we can have a conversation. You know, David was considered the Lord loved David. The Bible says, well, the scriptures say that David was the apple of God's eye, and because David had a repentant spirit. Hallelujah, praise God. Because David had a repentant spirit, and that's what we have to do. We have to have a repentant spirit. You know, David knew how to go to God and say, Lord, you know me. 51st Psalms, God, you created me. You see me, and I need to repent. I'm repenting here. I'm asking you to wash me. I'm asking you to cleanse me out. I'm asking you to change me, to rearrange me, to do some new things in my life. And Christ says that if you do that, if you constantly seek him, if you seek him on a daily basis, then he will, his scripture says, if your ways please me, then I will give you the desires of your heart. And that's because we have to check ourselves. We have to pull down those strongholds. We have to understand that this world is coming to an end, whether we like it or not. And we've got to begin to fortify ourselves with the armor of God. How do you say the armor of God? Mm-hmm. If we go back to Ephesians 6, and I just quoted verse 12, further in that scripture, starting through 13 and all the way down, it talks about, all the way down to the 18th verse, it talks about putting on the armor of God. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this part of this verse, and I'm reading Romans 13, verses 12 through 14. And make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Mm-hmm. So as in the army, as an enlisted man puts on new armor, he enlists, they give him a full set of clothes. The armor of God is the spiritual weaponry that God provides the Christian when we enlist in his army. Hallelujah. The armor is to increase our endurance on spiritual battlefield, and the battlefield is the area where the battle is fought. And if Satan can get your mind, your mind holds the secret of whether you believe God or not. If Satan can get you caught up into this world, if Satan can get you from walking out your front door, if Satan can get you to believe that there is no hope, one of the things, you know, I did a suicide prevention class about last month or so, and people that commit suicide have one-channel visions. They have one channel vision. They only can see that channel. They only can see that issue. They're not seeing anything else. They're walking in a spirit of despair, lack of hope. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get the believer where you don't believe, you don't trust God, you don't believe the word, and because you don't believe the word, you're going to just give it up and forget it all, and you ain't believing, and you losing your hope, and you got a spirit of despair. But Satan is a lie. God said that if I promised it, I'm going to do it. So we must stand on the word of God. We must stand on the belief that God will provide for our needs. The scriptures, the devotional scriptures for this month have been talking about ask and ye shall receive, knock and the door shall be open. God is faithful to those that are on his side. God is faithful because he loves us. He died on the cross for our sins, and because he died, Jesus came that we might have life, and that more abundantly. We've got to stand firm on our faith. We can't waver. We can't doubt. But here, look, but we cannot stand unless we read it. We're not going to trust God if we don't know the word. We can't. Hallelujah. We don't know that we can do all things through Christ to strengthen us if we don't read the word. We have got to spend time in God's presence. We've got to spend time allowing the word of God to saturate our minds, our spirit, spirits, our bodies. Yes, we do. We've got to believe, and the only way we can believe is by the word of God. You have not because you err in lack of knowledge. If we read it, the Bible says, ask, seek, knock. If you knock at the door, he'll open it up. It talks about favor. It talks about the fact that God is our refuge. He's our fortress and our strength. Hallelujah. It talks about that God is able to protect us in this last and evil days. If you don't believe me, go to the 91st Psalms. And the 91st Psalms certainly will give you an understanding of how God protects us. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to say, well, I ain't going out my door because it's just so crazy out here. But I tell you, God is providing. God is our refuge. Now, them strongholds, we've been identifying the strongholds, and we call the strongholds a refuge, a fortress. Now, those are the sins that we build up, hatreds, unbelief, malice, sins of I'm not going to walk the way God has ordained in the Bible. Those type of sins that we create in our lives. But when we look at a castle, and when God says he's our refuge and our fortress, now there's another type of fortress. It's the fortress that God will provide for you if we believe. God will provide a fortress of protection. God will provide a refuge of protection. God will give you the abilities to walk in this world and be safe because God provides that protection for you. God said, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. You know, he says also take no thought. Take no thought for your needs. Look, if I can feed the birds of the air, I can do the same for you. We have got to begin to understand that God provides for us. Take on an attitude of strength in God. I am more than a conqueror through Christ that strengthens me. Hallelujah. Everything that's not like you, Jesus, bring it down. Eliminate it. Take it away. Present ourselves on the altar and say, God, here am I. I want to be more like you. So take out everything that's not like you because I want to be prosperous in you. Hallelujah. I want you to direct me. I want you to guide me. I want you to give me understanding. God, I don't understand the word, but God, give me an interpretation of how to read and understand this word, how to apply this word to my life, how to operate and move in this word so that it is relevant to my life application. Hallelujah. There's so many versions, King James, English Established Version, NIV Version. There's so many versions of this book that we may understand. And we've got the Bible application on our phones, and we can read the word off our phones, and we can allow the word to play on our phones. Hallelujah, because sometimes those words in the Bible may be hard to pronounce, but it'll speak it. You can turn on play, and it'll play it for you. I want to wrap this up. God said he'll bring everything down in our lives. It's not like him. We must ask God to do it because God is not going to do anything unless we ask. And we must believe that God is faithful and just. The Beatitudes in Matthew 5 talked about how those that seeking God and striving for God will find him. So if you want more of God, you certainly will get it. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for those that's on this word. I thank you for everyone that tuned in to listen to what you had to bring or the word on this morning. We pray even now, God, that this word may be applicable and applicable to their lives. We bind the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. We speak life. We speak healing. We speak anointing. We speak breakthrough. All of those that need you, God. God, show them who you are. Give them a miracle, Father God. God, move like never before in their lives. And Father God, have your way in the name of Jesus. God, move. God, every obstacle in their life, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. God, allow them to cast their cares upon you because you care. Increase their faith, God, in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit of doubt in the name of Jesus. Satan, you have no authority. We speak life, liberty. Set them free, God. You know what they need, and I speak to the need. I decree and declare a thing right now in the name of Jesus. It is so, said the Lord, even healing in the name of Jesus. God, increase that body, God. God, for your work in you, for your work in the name of Jesus, God, everything that they need, God, provide it for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, I want to thank each and every one that was on the line today. I will see you on, or I will speak with you on next week. Be blessed. Bye-bye.